And welcome to Seeking the Gospel Truth. I'm Giselle Aguiar, and I believe that God wants to fill up heaven. He wants everyone to be saved, including you. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, "And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come." That's the gospel, the good news of Jesus' true salvation. I pray that as you hear this message, it will encourage you to read the Bible for yourself. Seek the truth. Ask God to open your heart, eyes, and mind to understand what His Spirit is trying to tell you. The episode will begin after a short message. How do you get unsurpassed freedom in Jesus Christ? Galatians chapter 5 is one of my favorite chapters. In it, Paul talks about freedom and fruit. Good stuff. I did a podcast on the fruit of the Spirit as one of the 22 benefits of the salvation of Jesus Christ. And it's embedded towards the bottom of my blog. So click on over there when you're done with this podcast to listen to that one. But let's dig into Paul's letter to the Galatians. And it starts with a potent declaration of the truth. And I read from Paul's letter to the Galatians chapter 5. "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision or Catholic rituals," yes, I'm going to add my own little touch to this, "to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised or ritualistic, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses or the Roman Catholic Church. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace." And isn't that what you're trying to get? Continuing, verse 5. "But we who live in the Spirit eagerly wait to receive faith by the righteousness God has promised us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised, or being baptized as a child or not. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You were running the race so well, Galatians. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for He is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachers. God will judge that person or persons, whoever he or they are, who has been confusing you. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves." Okay, so basically what's going on here, what Paul's explaining, is the Galatians were mostly Gentiles. So these so-called Jewish believers came in and started saying that even the Gentiles need to be circumcised like the Jews so that they can be saved. But no, that's not right. That's what Paul is saying here. You do not need to be circumcised for salvation. Continuing, verse 13. "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Living by the Spirit's power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses, or any other church rules for that matter. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Here they come: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. And you can click on over to my blog, and right under that Bible passage, I've got my podcast on the fruit of the Spirit. We'll go into some more detail on that. So what does freedom in Christ actually mean? Born-again Christians are not only set free from bondage of law, but they are also free from the bondage of sin because of the power of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. Freedom in Christ is not an excuse to indulge in the sins and lusts of the flesh. Rather, it provides the privilege of bearing the fruit of the Spirit by relying on Jesus and his guidance. Roman Catholics are slaves to the rules, rites, and regulations of the church. Like sinning during the week because you can go to confession on Saturday and be absolved of your sins. That makes no sense. What if you die on the way to church on Saturday, nowhere near it, and the priest can't perform last rites? You're doomed to hell. Moreover, when you look at it, the Roman Catholic Church actually encourages sinning during the week. Just the fact that the Roman Catholic Church pushes you to worship statues of Mary and the saints is wrong. That's idolatry. It's one of the desires of your sinful nature that Paul mentions in this chapter. That's breaking God's law. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21, 23? He said, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" That's going to be very disheartening when you get to the great white throne judgment and you're told, "I never knew you." You'll argue everything you did to gain grace points, but it won't be enough. It won't matter. It's never enough. You're going to hell. God will judge everybody. God will judge all Catholic Church leaders along with everybody else at the great white throne judgment found in Revelation 20 for their false teachings. And I have a link to my blog on Revelation 20 in the blog. People worship idols because they lack a personal relationship with Jesus. You cannot be justified by following rules, rituals, or regulations. The Catholic Church has misled you all these years. It misled me for 18 of them. To reiterate Paul's first line in this chapter, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in the slavery to the law. How do you do that? With the help of the Holy Spirit in your heart. How do you get the Spirit? You repent of your sins, ask Jesus for forgiveness, and invite him into your heart. Then you get baptized again. Yes, again, as an adult who is dying to his or her old sinful nature and being born again to a new life with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. If you don't know how to invite Jesus into your life, just pray this prayer humbly, sincerely, and wholeheartedly. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Please forgive me. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and my life to you. I confess you as my personal Lord and Savior. I surrender my whole life to you, and I will follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you click on over to my blog, I have the next steps in your walk with Jesus. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Are you ready? Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. Yes, the kingdom of God is here. We are living in strange, crazy times. The last days, the end times. But know that things aren't falling apart. They are falling into place. Jesus said in Revelation 3, verses 20 to 22, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches." Folks, Jesus is knocking. It's up to you to open the door. Invite him, your Savior, into your heart. If you don't know what to say, read the prayer in the show notes. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I pray that the Holy Spirit, the author of Scripture, touched your heart to reveal the gospel truth that our hope is through Jesus Christ only. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to reach out to me via my website or social media. Make sure you download my favorite free Bible study apps, YouVersion Bible app, and Through the Word. These will make it easy for you to get into the habit of reading the Bible daily and seeking the truth for yourself. Oh, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button, then the share button. The good news of Jesus Christ is meant to be shared. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory.